Cross up ready on the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like here we go.
Here we go.
Changing up the game, oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is.
It's Crawl
now.
Talk with this radio, conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig, two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaging listeners on topic, discussions, debate questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors, ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room, it's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe in things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
Got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
Welcome back to Crosstalk Radio. This is your boy, Big Pudge.
Your man, Steph Swig.
Man, we got a great show for you today. And it's something that a lot of people have talked about in the past before, you know what I'm saying? We just like to bring it up on the Crosstalk, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Elephant in the room type of way we do it. And it's, is it okay to eat pork? According to the word of God? Because, you know, some people don't believe in God. They're going to eat it regardless of whether. So I just say it's okay to eat it. According to the word of God, or just period?
We can go both. I mean, because the word of God governs what we're supposed to do anyway.
Okay, true.
But either way it goes.
But, you know, it's a lot of folks in the world that believe other things. So,
true.
You know, I guess we would say.
But you do. I mean, even with that being said, you know, you got vegetarians that don't eat pork for those reasons. For
true.
Reasons. Then you got Muslims who don't eat. They don't believe like we do, but they don't eat. They definitely
That's true.
Don't.
That's
and
true.
You got the Hindus who don't even eat cows.
Right.
So, like.
I guess we can give the health benefit of it as far as why it would be good and not good eat health-wise, but no matter what your religious belief is.
Mm-hmm.
And is it okay to eat it according to the word of God? Not the word of Allah or the word of Buddha.
Not the word of Pudge, not the word of Swig.
Right.
Like, it's a great topic, man.
It is. It's one of the topics where people talk about it all the time, man. You know, it's funny because, you know, me and Step both see, this is one of them things where it's going to be juicy because...
We don't agree.
We don't agree.
He's eating a pork chop sandwich right now.
with Texas Pete hot sauce on it.
But yeah, it's actually it's a deep topic, believe it or not. Because it goes deeper than the pork.
It does.
I will admit, Pudge, like when I first... You know, I've been saying for a while now, since 99, and I just always hear this come up about should Christians eat pork, and I thought back then that was the dumbest argument. Like, of course we can. You know, God blessed everything.
Right.
You know, you got the scripture that people go to about it. God said it's not what goes in the man that defiles him, what comes out that defiles him, so therefore food does not defile man. So I agree with that back then. And then, you know, Holy Spirit convicted me on eating pork, and I struggled with that for a minute.
Now, I know people are going, I ain't mean to cut you off, but I know folks is like, now how the Holy Spirit convict one person, but the other person is completely okay with it? So, no. So just tell the world, what was your actual conviction?
That shouldn't be eating it, period. Like, shouldn't be eating it.
Did something happen? Or
nothing
was it...
happened, dude. I was, it was like, you know, Majors, Evangelist Williams Major, or what was his name?
Majors.
His last name is Williams.
Okay, that's what it is. That's what I'm saying. Okay, your right. Benjamin. I know Majors. Okay, well, Majors has these teachings. He's doing different stuff. And sometimes I get with a lot of his stuff. Sometimes I don't. Mm-hmm. And the pork one particularly, I don't. You know, he talked about it, or I didn't. He talked about it and talked about it. And it's annoying. Like, he getting on Christmas about eating pork. It's annoying me, actually. You know?
No,
love lost for Majors, because he always gives me something to study on. And so, and he gave me some scriptures that, you know, because all the time, I was always going to the scriptures about not eating pork in the Old Testament. Then, you know, they talk about all kinds of stuff you're not supposed to do in the Old Testament. And, you know, you go with the whole New Testament scripture, when Christ is talking to the people, and he's saying it's not what goes in the body that defiles a man, but what comes out. I'm like, okay, so if that's the case, that throws the whole no eating pork thing out the window. So we can eat pork all we want.
Right.
And so that's what I thought. And then Major said something about that in that scripture. He pointed out in his lesson that the scripture is not pertaining to eating at all. And so I had to.
What scripture was that?
Oh, man, come on. We get
no, no, no. I'm just curious because I'm like, you know, because honestly, I don't want that to be one of my scriptures to debunk what you're talking about.
That's fine.
And then, you know, you saying that. Yeah.
It's in the New Testament. I got so many notes here. I need to organize my notes better. It's in Matthew 15:1, and it goes from 15:1 to 15:20 to kind of support.
What is it again?
Matthew 15, verse 1 through, I got verse 1 through 10 and verse 15 through 20, because I guess I'm breaking down eventually.
Okay.
So that was one. That was like, I guess that was like a seed being planted, but I didn't feel no conviction whatsoever either way.
Right.
And then I ate a whole bunch of chitlins last year for Christmas. Or the year before. I love chitlins.
Right.
So my in-laws, they had like a whole bunch of chitlins. And I was eating them. I started feeling kind of weird. Not necessarily sick, but just like,
right.
You know what? I don't want chitlins anymore. Like, I don't feel like I should be eating them. And then it was a gradual conviction. It wasn't like, oh my God, I'm going to hell because I'm eating chitlins. Like, you know what? I don't think God wants me to eat pork. So I started studying the scriptures about pork.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the ones that Majors had spoke up in his teaching. And I started understanding them differently.
Right.
You know, so as I studied it more, it's like I come to the conclusion. Although I said this in the beginning, because like last time we get convicted, we'd be like, well, God don't want nobody eating this. God don't want nobody doing this.
Right.
And that's kind of how I felt about the scriptures at first. And as I studied more, it's like, well, maybe it's my conviction. But now I'm kind of on the fence, but no matter what I discover from these scriptures, I'm still convicted on eating pork, hands down. So I don't even have to eat it anymore. I don't eat it anymore. And I had compromised a few times, and then the conviction came against. I was like, well, pepperoni, you know, it's like how we compromise. Well, God, I know pork is pork chops, ham, and all stuff, but pepperoni's not pork. It's kind of mixed, God. So
really?
I can
have, did I you can, do that to you?
It's like a half pepperoni in the pizza. It's, like I said, it's a gradual.
Right.
So I ate pepperoni I ate pepperoni on the pizza, and it's like, and I feel convicted, like, I shouldn't be eating pork anymore. And so that's why I stopped. And I'm actually to the point, I know y'all may have heard the other podcast, but I was kind of struggling with it. One, I don't want it anymore. And that's how you know it's a spiritual thing. It's like, you know, something you used to love, and it makes a lot of sense in the world, you should want it, but it's like, I don't have no appeal for it anymore.
Yeah, well, you definitely lose, that lets you know your desire is really gone for real.
And so, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, talking to people, that's some things the Holy Spirit will share with you is for just for you individually, and some things is for everybody.
Right.
You know, even with the scriptures. You know, because I know people who can't watch certain TV shows because of where they are in life. I don't mean everybody should watch a TV show. So, you know, it's an individual relationship thing. And I think that's what makes the difference between my relationship with religion. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, how you want me to go? You want me to go into what scripture?
Yeah, go ahead. I want you to get yours all out.
All right.
At least half of it all the way out anyway.
Okay, cool. So let me say this right off here. This is where I am. I'm just going to go by the scriptures and share what the scriptures say about pork. But also keep in mind, I am convicted on eating pork.
Right.
So I'll share the scriptures with you
and
share why I think, you know, God is telling us not to eat pork or whatever. And then y'all can make the decision for yourself.
Gotcha.
You know, because these are my convictions. Because either way, what we have to acknowledge is that if you're going to say the scriptures say do not eat pork,
right,
you have to acknowledge everything else is in that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And, bro, it's a lot of stuff. It's like, and the more I read it, the more like it convinced me, like, okay, well, maybe we're not supposed to be eating pork. That's just my personal opinion. Because it's like, it was very specific. Like, but to all those Christians who say they can't eat pork because we're not supposed to biblically, then according to those same scriptures, you can't eat rabbit, you can't eat catfish, you can't eat shellfish, you can't eat crabs, you can't eat shrimp, you can't eat lobster, you can't eat any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture even goes as far as to tell you you can't even eat alligators. Like, it's a whole, like, whole other chapters in that same book. I didn't even notice that. Tell you what kind of insects you're getting. Because first I'm like, wow, they talk about insects. And it's like, wow, what about grasshoppers? What about locusts? But you can eat locusts if you think about it. When John the Baptist came back, he's eating locusts and wild honey. But those are permissible according to scripture. So he didn't even wasn't even faltering there. But anyway, moving on, I'm gonna just read Leviticus 11:1. I'm going to the New Testament. Leviticus 11:1 is an Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna read some of the passages, but like I said, we like to get y'all in your word so you can rely on us the whole time. You should not do that.
You shouldn't.
Alright, here we go. Leviticus 11:1. And the Lord, that's God, spoke to Moses, or spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, mm-hmm. speaking to the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts in which you shall eat among all beasts are on the earth. Whatsoever partake part of the hoof and cloven hoof and chew of the cud among the beasts that ye shall eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew cud or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And they gave you a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm trying to get to the word when it talks about pork. I'll say 11 and 1 through 11.
It's in, you in the right chapter, because it's in Leviticus.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get to it when they talk about pork, but then, hold on. But it did give me a whole bunch of stuff. But then I'll go back to verse 6. It says, and the hare, that's the rabbit, he is unclean. Chew of the cud, but divide not the hoof. He is unclean to you. And the swine, there you go. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you. Or their flesh you shall not eat. And then, like I'm saying, like after you get to like verse 11, it goes into the insects. It goes into all kinds of different things. So that's the Old Testament version. And of course, a lot of people say, well, it's an Old Testament. That's part of the old law. So Christ came and he fulfilled the law. So we don't have to go through all that. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that to an extent. But when it comes, and I'm going to have to come back to it, because certain scriptures I want to come back to on that too. But, you know, I agree with that. When I understand when Christ fulfilled the law, it meant fulfilling the parts where that the requirements to get into heaven. Like back mm-hmm. then they had to make the sacrifice, the atonement for this, atonement for that.
Right.
You know, all this other stuff, the traditional religious traditions. That's what I think, because the law required that we had to do something or slay an animal if we sinned or stuff like that. When he says fulfill the law, that's right. How I understood that. All right, but also you have to understand that when you talk about the scriptures, you know, sometimes they're talking about different specific people. Like in this one, he's obviously talking to the Israelites.
Right.
Now, I will say, I got some New Testament stuff I want to go with, but I will say, when it comes to scriptures, personally, and I can be wrong either way,
mm-hmm.
I don't think these rules here are for the sake of salvation. I don't think, I don't think that. However, I think God, in all his wisdom, who created everything for a specific purpose. Because
uh-huh.
he clearly says, these are an abomination to you, which means that they're not, to me, I understand they're not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I take that.
Right.
And I also understand that some things just are not meant to be eaten or consumed the way that we consume them. So that's where I go with that. All right, but in verse 12 goes on about eating insects. Like, there's certain insects you don't eat. But anyway, so I wanted to go to Matthew 15:1, because this one right here, everybody a lot can go to. All right,
I'm following you with your scriptures to Matthew 15:1.
Yeah, Matthew 15:1. Good job, Pudge.
Okay.
Matthew 15:1, because a lot of Christians, even myself, are like, okay, yeah, well, that's Old Testament, but when Christ clearly says that, you know, we can eat whatever we want in this scripture right here.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's another scripture, another gospel that talks about it, but it doesn't give you the whole story. Matthew 15:1.
Jesus teaches about inner purity.
I'm actually the wrong one, but this is one I want to use for this too. It's talking about, I got them backwards. Dang, I did that again. Hold on.
Okay.
How did I mess that up? Hey, where is that scripture? I know I have it.
Which scripture is it? I mean, well, what is the scripture saying?
It's talking about them when he's talking about him eating, and they say it's not what goes in the body, but what comes out. They're talking to Christ, and he's saying it's not what goes in the body that defiles man, what comes out that defiles man. Does the food go in the stomach and enter out?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about. And I had that marked. I don't know how it's not here.
You're talking about Mark 7.
Is that Mark 7?
Mark 7:17-23.
Mark 7.
Yeah, that's exactly one of my scriptures I'm using to debunk your Leviticus.
Okay, cool. Mark 7.
Mm-hmm. 17-23. Matter of fact, you want me to just go ahead and read it?
No. Nah, because I actually had these highlighted.
Y'all hear that, people, right? He ain't want to get debunked. You see how he said no? No.
I hate that.
That ain't it either?
That's the one, but I had them highlighted. I have two Bibles I read. That's why.
Because, you know, of course, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all pretty much telling the same thing, just through three different versions. So yeah. You might have seen it in Matthew. Just
read it. Go ahead and read it since you got it.
Then Jesus went into the house to get away from the crowd, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used.
What's the verse again?
Well, it's Mark 7, 7, that was 17.
Okay.
17-23.
Okay, cool.
So which one you want me to read? You want me to read that?
Yeah, whatever one you're going to use to dump up me, you can go with that one.
Okay, so are you still making your point?
Yeah, let me make my point.
I want to use this to make my point, okay. Not to help you make your point. So you go ahead.
All right, then they came together. This is Mark 7 and 1. Then they came together into a certain scribes which came from Jerusalem, and they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands. Mm-hmm. People always talk about Jesus talking about eating food. He's not clearly right here because he talks about they're eating with unwashed mm-hmm. hands. Then they found fault. He said, except to the Jews, except for they wash their hands, oft eat not, holding the tradition of elders. Mm-hmm. When they came to market, they wash. It said, except when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. They, and many other things there be, which they have not received to hold, as washing cups and pots and brazen vessels and tables. So when the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk with disciples according to the tradition of elders, eat bread with unwashing hands? Mm-hmm. So that's what they're asking Christ. They're not asking about eating food. They're asking about eating with unwashed hands. And so when he's responding in verse 17, he's responding to that. He's not talking about food. He's talking about the tradition of eating with unwashed hands. Because back then they're taught that if you eat with unwashed hands, you're eating defiled. It's defiling everything. That's what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's what I get from that. And he clearly talks about that. But that's what I used to go to before. Is like, well, Christ is talking about eating food here. But if you read back all the way back to verse 1, he's not. He's actually a response to them talking about eating with unwashed hands. And he even go farther to explain it further on in the scriptures. That's all.
Okay, so he says, like, so pretty much what you're saying is when he was talking about what he was saying in Mark 7, 1, which you just read, he was talking about the unclean hands.
Yeah, because they believe that if you ate with unclean hands, then you're
defiled. The food is unclean. Got right.
Yeah, and that's what he was saying.
Gotcha. I totally get that.
Okay. So that's my point on that. All right? Okay. So I go to Matthew 15 and 1. I actually marked it. I was really prepared, and this crap is happening again.
You do that every show, you know that, right?
I do a lot of shows.
Every time we get together, you got Bibles, everything laid out.
I got notes.
Notes. You got everything highlighted. As soon as we get started, for some reason, you lose every note.
I don't know what. Like I said, I got two different Bibles that I mark and stuff, and I'm trying to go back to the one so that I can read it on the air. Because my other Bible was not going to read the same way the King James read, and I don't really typically read the King James. Mm-hmm. On an everyday basis, I compare them.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's the same one. It's in Matthew. The same scripture we're talking about is in Matthew 5 and 1 through 10. And that's when he's talking about what goes into, and Christ responding, what goes into the mouth does not defile for man. What comes out of the mouth defile for man. And that's all I was saying. It's just the same scripture, but just in a different...
just a different way of putting it.
Yeah. Okay, here it goes. I just want to clear it up. Yeah, it's Matthew 15. I read verses 1 through 10 and then 15 through 20. I'm not going to read them, but I'm saying that's where all this comes from. Mm-hmm. But I will go all the way down to Matthew 15, and I will go to verse 19, because this is after Christ talked about it's not what goes in, what comes out. And he goes as far as saying what comes out of the mouth are proceed forth of the heart, they defile the man, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. Here's what I'm talking about. It tells you that it's not talking about me. Then he goes as far as to say, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. So he's not talking about me. He's talking about clearly unwashed hands.
Gotcha.
So that's that. You got anything you want to debunk next? I want my.
I'm waiting to debunk everything you're saying. I'm waiting when you get done. That's all.
I see what you're doing. Ah, it's a game of chess, ain't it? Okay. All right. That's
you
cool.
Get it all out,
so
sir.
That's one thing people will use to debunk that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm getting at. All right. So we're going to move on. And I know, let's see. We'll go with Timothy. 1 Timothy 4 and 1 through 5. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Everybody wants to go here when it comes to meat. And I got to find Timothy.
Yeah, everybody love Timothy.
Y'all realize, y'all do know I'm reading a real paper Bible.
Yeah, catch y'all hear him flipping. Catch y'all hear him flipping.
Old school reader here.
Right, he an old school reader. I am too, but I just do a whole lot of my studying on a laptop. So while he flipping, I'm clicking.
That's what's up. All right, so Timothy 4, 1 through 5 says, I charge thee... Sorry, that's 2 Timothy. Let me go to 1 Timothy. My bad. 1 Timothy 4:1-5. It says, here we go. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times there shall be some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. Of them which believe and know the truth, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So that one people go to, and that's a strong one for people who want to eat pork. Because right there it says all creatures. And it says it's talking about meats. Now, of course, the Old Testament doesn't talk about all meats. It just talks about certain ones.
Wow.
And so even that one is kind of hard to really debunk. Be honest with you, it's kind of hard to debunk that one.
Right.
You know, that's a strong scripture. But I have other scriptures to support otherwise. But that's just one scripture. But that's one people typically go to. And also my thing is, if it was already established... prior, because in these books, from what I understand, they read the New Testament. The only books they went by was what they called Moses' books. So that's what they're reading on. So if it's already established that you can't eat this, they probably wouldn't consider it as food anyway. Like, okay. I'm looking at, like, I got vegetarians in my household. If I tell them, if they look in my refrigerator and they got if I got hamburgers and they got vegetables in there, I say, hey, grab the food out the refrigerator, they're not going to grab the meat.
Right.
Because it's already established that they're going to eat vegetables. Right. So that's how I look at that in a sense. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but that's how I interpret that. Either way it goes, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm not trying to sway scriptures to support my point. Because either way it goes, I don't have nothing to gain here other than I can eat pork now. No, I'm already convicted. Right. So that's out the window. So now, and I get that because that could be used for that argument saying, hey, we could be eating pork.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's a lot of work to try to eat pork. All right. So,
it's a lot of work to try to eat pork.
So I want to go to this one right here. This one to me, because we always talk about the Old Testament and the law being fulfilled. Like, for those people who say, like, well, when Christ died on the cross, he made all things clean and all things new. We don't have to do this no more. I get that. But if something's unhealthy, it's just unhealthy. Like, I don't think he took the damage away from pork by... dying on the cross. I know he took our sins away.
Right.
But it's certain things here that
it's still unhealthy. It's still unhealthy.
That's what I'm looking at. So I want to go to Acts. And this one is for all those people who talk about the Old Testament don't count because Christ fulfilled everything. So some people think the Old Testament is completely void and null because they're taught to live by the New Testament and not the Old Testament. So it's a lot of reading I'm going to do, but I have to do it just to draw this conclusion right here. And this comes from Acts 9, I'm going to read verses 14, and I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit, but I'm going to go forward. 19, I got Acts 9, 14, then I'm going to read 15 and 17, then I'm going to read 19 through 28.
And this is all in Acts?
Yes, all Acts. It's all Acts chapter 9, but it's just different scriptures in chapter 9.
Gotcha.
All right, so I'll get him read, because I want y'all to get the fullness of this, because this is another one that will have you, if you're not really paying attention, it will have you under the idea that Christ declared all, you know, that we can eat meat. Or, eat pork. And just for the sake of conversation, we're going to talk about pork. I'm not talking about any other things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here we go.
On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went upon the housetop to pray, and about the sixth hour he became very hungry. And he would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened up, and a certain vessel descended unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit into four corners, and let down on the earth, wherein all the manner of the four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." I know we've heard that before. Right, a lot of people use it to justify hunting.
Right.
And it, you know, then, but Peter said, "Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to read some more verses, but I want y'all to understand right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Peter existed in the New Testament.
Right.
He walked with Christ. Mm-hmm. So he knew what Christ was dying for.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ died, rose on the cross for his sins, like our sins, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so if he, at that point, understood what Christ was teaching, that as the Christ was saying that when I die, everything in the old law is going to be void and null, he would not have even came back with the saying, "I have not eaten anything that's uncommon or unclean." So that must mean, at that point, he still saw meat as unclean, mm-hmm. or certain foods are unclean according to the scriptures previous to that occurrence. However, that's my opinion there.
Right.
But if you already understood that Christ died on the cross and made all things clean and declared all things clean, because he was present when Christ was talking about, you know, it's not what goes in the man, it defiles the man, what comes out. So why would he even think to even say, "I have not eaten anything that is common or unclean"?
Because he's still human.
Okay.
He's still human. You got to look at it like this. It's almost like you being raised your entire life
okay.
to think that something is wrong, but then you come into the revelation that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It still may be a struggle to do that now
okay.
when you've always in your mind was taught and thought that
mm-hmm.
it was something. I mean, but Peter had a hard time taking to Paul once
true,
he became
true.
When he went from Saul to Paul, he was the main one that didn't like
okay.
you know Paul after that. So and it's because of what the past and how he was raised and
I
stuff
got
like
you.
That.
I
go ahead, go ahead.
All right, cool. Well, that's my point on that. But so he's saying it's human. Okay, either way. That's fine.
It's just an opinion. It
yeah.
could be, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just, you know, you asked a question. I just answered. That's all.
I appreciate your answer. All right. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. "What God hath cleaned, thou call not common." And people will take that and think it means that he's talking about meat right here. I'm going to prove it to you that it's not talking about meat here either.
And this is when? This is what? This is
Acts chapter 9.
Okay.
And this was done thrice, which means three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now Peter doubted in himself what this vision, which he had seen, should mean. So he didn't even understand it, even though something originally pretended it to be meat. Even Peter thought something about meat, but he still was not he was unclear.
Mm-hmm.
So, behold, the man was sent from Cornelius and made inquiry for Simon's house. They stood before the gate and called and asked whether Peter was lodged there. Okay, that's 15-17. I'm gonna go to verse 19 through. I'll read 19 through 28. Sorry, y'all, but you're still
in Acts 9, right?
Yeah.
I'm
reading 19 through 28 now.
Okay.
While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him to Cornelius from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he, you whom ye seek. What is the cause, therefore, ye come?" And that's 9. Okay, I'm still okay. And they said to Cornelius, "The centurion, just a man, and one that feared God, of good report among all the nations of Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send thee into his house and to hear the words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow, which means the next morning, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinsmen and their friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he taught with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's what the vision meant.
Okay.
That he's talking about a man specifically. He's talking about Jews being called unclean. Well, Jews not being able to be hanging or being able to associate with the other, whatever, Peter, hold on, right here, another nation. And he says, and that's when he realized the vision was saying not that meat is unclean, but he's talking about calling any man mm-hmm. uncommon or unclean. So they're not talking about meat there either. That's what the vision meant. And they go further into Acts to explain that again. And I go right here, and it goes to, I'm going to go to verse 11, chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Verse 3, saying, thou wentest to men uncircumcised, they did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded on it by unto them, saying, it was in the city of Joppa, praying, and I in a trance saw a vision, a certain vessel descended, and it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by the four corners. And it came to me, upon which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts on the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things and fowls of the air, and I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. Right, I'm gonna recap right there. So mm-hmm. what he's doing is going right back to the same vision again. Okay, but here's back to the scripture now. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing uncommon or clean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And here it is right here. That's in verse. It's the same scripture. I mean, it's the same vision he's talking about. But I'm going to jump down to verse 18. It says, when they had heard these things, they had their peace and glorified God, saying that hath God also the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So what the issue was, Peter was trying to call the Gentiles unclean because they were not Jews. Mm-hmm. So the scripture right there that people use to kill, eat, and slay had nothing to do with meat. Once again, if you read the scriptures and study them in context, that's what the scriptures are talking about.
Okay.
So that's all I got on that. So those are scriptures I feel... where people would use to debunk pork, or to say you can eat pork or whatever.
It's okay to eat it.
Yeah, that's the scriptures people try to use to say that. But right. Those scriptures I just showed you, even when Christ talking about with the fathers of body, he's clearly not talking about pork. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the axe, kill, slay, eat, not talking about pork. The only one I see that holds a valid light was the Timothy one we read earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got.
All right, so the first one, and it's funny because, okay, so... I speak right now in the name of Jesus that people will not get confused off of this
Amen.
This lesson right here, because to somebody who is not tapped in with the Holy Spirit, you're going to hear what Steph said, you're going to hear what I said, and if you don't have the Holy Ghost, confusion will set in, because we are literally using the same chapters, the same books to debunk each
wow,
other.
Wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, so as you're reading... I'm over here intrigued in the mug
yeah.
because we're not using the same, some of them we're using the same same book.
Yeah.
Same book, maybe a different chapter.
Yeah.
You know, and then like it's like some of the stuff you're saying. So I come against confusion right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Even if someone does not have a relationship with the actual Holy Spirit, I pray that God gives you clarity on where you are with him if this is something that you should do.
Amen.
Because, you know, on top of being step, you know, is it okay, you know, saying to eat biblically, is my personal belief that God will tell someone or convict someone from eating it because it's just not good for their health.
Yeah.
You know, too much intake of something can be bad, even if it's something that's put to help you. You know, you're only supposed to take it in moderation of certain doses, and too much of it, something can always go wrong. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to put that out there before I even got started. So my first thing is the dietary laws for Israel recorded in Leviticus chapter 11. Key words, there were dietary laws.
Yeah.
So just in case y'all didn't know that, you know, when you read Leviticus chapter 11, it was dietary laws, which included, you know, for example... prohibited from eating pork, as well as all the other stuff that Step named. That if you're not going to eat this, you can't eat that.
Shellfish, alligator,
you're going to go by the law. Yeah, you can't do all that.
So you should be like me, just be convicted on pork, and you can eat the other stuff and be okay.
Exactly.
Let me stop.
Exactly. See, look at him.
Well, go ahead, man.
Right, so the New Testament, however, makes it clear that observations of these Old Testament food laws for religious reasons is no longer required in the New Testament era. Jesus himself declared that all foods were clean. Jesus himself.
Give me the scripture.
Mark 7:17-23. And this is what I would love to say to everybody. I'm not knocking Paul. I ain't knocking Peter. I ain't knocking John.
But you
can't knock what God himself has said and his son, Jesus the Christ. Okay.
Read the
scripture. Mark 7:17-23. New Living Translation says, "Then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowd, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used. Jesus said, 'Don't you understand either?' he asked. 'Can't you see that the food you put in your body cannot be defiled? Can't you see that the food you put in your body cannot be defiled?'" Not washing your hands or, you know, saying or touching anything else that is impure. He said the word food.
Because they thought when you didn't wash your hands, it defiled the food. That's okay. What caused the food.
Right. But the whole point is, even though the key word is food. So I understand what you and Majors were saying as far as he's not talking about that in Mark 7 in the beginning.
Yeah.
But you can't debunk what Jesus said in 17. He's telling them, the hands were dirty, but just because you put something in your stomach with dirty hands, it still doesn't defile you.
True.
So again, I believe, you know what I'm saying? I believe people will take that, and like what Majors did, but like he wasn't talking about food, but when Jesus came to start talking about it, he is talking about food.
But Jesus even goes and says he's talking about unwashed hands.
Unwashed hands, but oh, see.
Well, give me the scriptures again that you read.
Because what it is, we both are accurate. Like, we can't debunk what the Bible says.
Where you at again?
Mark 17.
All right.
And it's 17-23.
Mark 17.
And what you got? The King James?
There's no Mark 17.
Mark 7.
Oh, Mark 7.
Yeah, 17-23.
Okay, Mark 7:17.
And what are you reading?
I'm reading King James now.
King James or the New King James?
Just the King James version.
Oh my gosh! Somebody help this, my brother, with the King James. So you reading the Thouest, Thouest, and Oldest, and Setteth?
I have other versions, but this is the one a lot of people go by. So that's what I read.
People go by the New King James now. They don't even do.
A lot of people will say the New King James version. Look, man, let's get back to the topic at hand, because now you gotta start doing the NIV versus the KJV. Personally, I'm not a fan of the KJV. I prefer the NIV.
Oh,
that's me.
People probably be mad at me if I told them what I prefer.
But either way, however you get it, either way go. What you read and what I read both led us to the same scriptures.
Right.
So Mark 7.
All right. 17. So I'm gonna take it to the new. I'm gonna even go to the New King James version, because as these different versions come up, they put different words in. So seriously, because that was the New Living Translation and it says food. The New King James Version says, "Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man?"
Yeah, that one makes more sense to me.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is it's still you can't take away he's not talking about food. He's talking about in the beginning the unclean hands, but when Jesus is responding to the parable, he's telling you whatever is consumed inside of your body.
Yeah.
There's nowhere in the world you could debunk that and say he ain't talking about food.
No, he's not.
Because he's saying
no,
so.
No, I agree. I mean,
you
right.
agree with the point I'm making.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read it from, especially for you Bible scholars out here who can't do nothing past the New King James Version. I'm going to just say that. So I'm going to start off.
Quit insulting our listeners, man.
Just
get a message what you got. Stop insulting our listeners, man.
I'm insulting you, not the listeners. All right. Again, Mark 7:17-23. It's from the New King James Version. It says, "When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, 'Are you thus without understanding also?'" In plain English, do y'all not understand too? "Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all food?" So pretty much what got purifying all foods.
What does it say? Is it in a comma?
Purifying all foods?
Yeah.
No, the foods were, well, we say comma, like parentheses, I mean, like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's quoting what Jesus was saying.
Yeah, parentheses.
None of what I just said is in parentheses. The quotation is because it's not red letters. So, you know, when you quote what somebody's saying. I'm just saying.
But you know that if it's not red letters.
No, I'm reading. I'm on a computer, man. You in the Bible. That's why they got the quotations there.
Yo, I'm just saying.
Go to the King James Version. And do you have red letters in your old Bible since you asking me that?
Yeah.
Right. They red letters.
Exactly.
All right. So how you trying to challenge
me? You said it was no red letters.
Because you know what? You trying to be funny, man.
No, go ahead. I'm just trying to get clarity.
Now you challenge me. So I'm trying to get clarity.
Because you're reading from Mark. Right?
I'm reading from Mark, yes. And verse 20 says, and he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man, for what comes from within. See, that's why, you know what? No. Because my thing is, I want to understand what it is I'm daggone saying. And all that, what comes out of it, and the end of this, I can't do all that.
Okay, cool.
So let me go back to plain English, because I'm sure I'm not the only person on this planet who, when they read the Word of God, they want somebody to talk to them like as if you're talking to me in plain English.
I prefer to do it that way. Like I said, I got this version just so I can read it on air to people who believe in the King James version. Go ahead.
So let me go back. Can't you see that the food you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes.
See, that part right there, what scripture is that
part?
Now,
that part is not, that part is in parentheses.
See, that's someone else's interpretation of that scripture. That's why it's in parentheses. That's why I was getting that, because somebody's going to have that.
Yeah, that's it. That's not, but that's the New Living Translation when it says, by saying this, that's in parentheses.
See, that's what I went by before, but that's not something he said.
And see, in the New King James Version, it says foods, and it's not in parentheses. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
go ahead.
Yeah. And verse 20 says, and then he added, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. From within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defiles you.
Gotcha. Now, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But see, like we talked about before, the four Gospels, some have some information that some don't, because it's different people's perspective. Now, here is written in red, and this is coming from Matthew 15. And this one says, he's talking about unfiled, he's talking about hands. He says, these are the things, I'll go back to 19, he said, for out of a man's heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So they come back around and say.
Yeah, but it's still, to me, I think we're both making our points, honestly.
Yeah, okay.
Because the point that you're making is that God is saying that I'm talking about the hands, and just because the person's hands is unclean doesn't mean that you're defiled within you because you ate it. Because the person didn't wash their hands before you ate it. I think he further went on to say, even if the person's hands was clean, because this is old law, you putting it in your body still doesn't make it unclean, because it's with clean hands, and the old law says you're not supposed to eat it anymore.
I got you.
I honestly think he was touching both points.
I got something I want to say in that, but I agree with you, though.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything before? Because I don't want to take you off your...
Oh, man, I got two more. I don't want you to lose what you're about to say.
No, I know what I'm saying. There's nothing to debunk you. I think I got a much more complete understanding as to why people are looking at it differently. But I'll go ahead and let you
finish. Okay. Because I might jump on your bandwagon and not do the other two scriptures. So that was Mark 7:17-23. And Acts, and this is the part that was blowing my mind all the time you was reading.
Same scripture?
Yes. Because, see, I said, God, if he get to Acts 10, then we might have to cut this show short so he can explain to me and him what's going on. Because if you hadn't read out of Acts 10, I'd have been officially kind of lost to the rest of this show.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? But you read it. No, she hadn't known it. You read Acts 9.
Oh, wow. I didn't get the 10. Let's go to 10.
But I'm in 10, though.
I want to go.
Acts 10, 9 through 16. Okay, so in Acts 10, 9 through 16, Peter was informed by God through a vision that he was not to reject the use of certain animals for food or religious basis. The Apostle Paul also writes, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, because it is concentrated by the word of God in prayer. That's in 1 Timothy 4:4.
I thought you were going to Acts.
I am, but for, when I quoted what Paul was saying,
okay,
that's in 1 Timothy 4:4.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So okay. Acts 10:19 says, Peter visits Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, Cornelius.
Okay, the next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the open sky. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared. That kind of just scared me off the rip that he could just tell God no. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, you know, I mean, it just, you know, I was stuck on that no part for a while.
What,
like,
what scripture are you at? You're at Acts chapter
10.
10 verse. And
verses 9
okay.
through 16. I'm on 14 right now.
Yeah, I read those. Okay. I got
no,
you.
Peter. No, Lord, Peter declared. I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke again. Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven.
Exactly.
Okay, so what was your whole point you was making in this?
The whole point is that he's not talking about meat there.
How is he not talking about meat?
Because you got to read the rest of the chapter. Because either way, think about it. This is the third. It was done three times. It was pulled up in heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision that he had seen meant, he doubted. He didn't even understand what the vision meant.
Mm-hmm.
So he's pondered on that. And it wasn't until verse 28. When he's talking to Cornelius, because Cornelius wasn't a Jew, he's a Gentile. You remember how they felt about Gentiles back then? We can't associate. And he said unto them, "You know that it is unlawful." Verse 28, chapter 10, verse 28. And this is what he's saying. He said, "You know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." That's a weird thing to say after that.
But see, I also believe that that's the revelation that he got. See, honestly, I believe that there's more than one revelation.
But hold on.
Go ahead.
Go right to chapter 11, and they give you the same exact rundown, the same exact scriptures. Same exact vision about the exact vision about the four corners, the animals, kill ye, kill eat. And then I go to verse 8. It says, "But I said, not so, Lord. For nothing uncommon or unclean has at any time entered into my mouth, but the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, thou call not common. And this was done three times, and they were drawn up again into heaven." All right, so then you go down to verse 18, after he's walking, and he said, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God. Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted..." Hold on. That's not what I'm going at. It's talking about the granted repentance unto life. That's the scripture I want to go to, but I want to go to something a little bit more concrete. But he's talking about them calling Gentiles unclean because they haven't been circumcised. That's what he's talking about here. And if you read from verses 9 all the way down to verse 18, it kind of clarify that for you. But I'll read it a little bit. It says, "But God, you know, God for clean does not call uncommon. And that was done three times, and all were drawn up to him again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit bade them to go with me, nothing doubting. Moreover, six brethren accompanied me. We entered the man's house," and they go to Jaffa, Peter. Hold on. Yeah, and I and he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's not the right way. But anyway, he's talking about the Holy Spirit right there. But of course, forasmuch God gave them like the gift he did to us. That's it right here. Forasmuch then God as gave them the gift as he did unto us, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God?
When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. It's talking about the Gentiles. And that's what Peter was calling unclean in the vision.
I honestly believe that God is using, because as you're talking, I read the rest of the whole story, with Peter and Cornelius. I believe that God knew how to get the mindset of his people to change. And although Jesus came to fulfill the law that they didn't have to go by anymore, they were stuck in that mindset of still fulfilling the law. So I do believe, honestly, that God showed him, because...
You say it's a double meaning?
Yeah, it's a double meaning. Just like the last mark. I feel like it was a double meaning.
Yeah.
The unclean hands and then the food intake. Mm-hmm. I believe God used the animals as far as what you can and can't eat as a starting point. And I believe, honestly, the beautiful part is I believe he meant both of them. Mm-hmm. I believe that God meant... you know, go up, kill all the animals, and eat them. Like, it's not impure anymore because my son came to fulfill the law. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the same way I'm telling you that you can eat the things that back in the day were impure, stop calling my people Gentiles. You know what I'm saying? Like I need to hit you with something that you struggle with and free you in that. So as you're puzzled about thinking about why that doesn't mean, he sends... The Holy Spirit tells you again, I sent some men here for you. Don't be troubled, but I sent them. So it's like in the process of you being puzzled, trying to understand what kill all these animals and birds and eat them means, then I sent three people who I necessarily would never even speak to.
I got you. I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a dual point that he's trying to make. But I think it's just one of the things where God is, at the end of the day, still trying to free his people. Not enough that his son came and fulfilled the law and died, but it's the fact that you got generations and generations of following these same laws, and it's just kind of like hard to break.
Ooh, I think I got it. Are you done? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So I agree. I agree with what you're saying. When I was talking about it, it had two different meanings. I think where the confusion comes in is when people talk about unclean. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about unclean. People talking about, you know, even if you look at the scripture where he's talking about eating with unwashed hands with the fire, and they're talking about a spiritual mean, right? I think in the Old Testament, when he's talking about eating pork, I don't think they're necessarily talking about a spiritual thing. I think they're talking about a straight up health issue.
I believe it was that dietary.
That's what I designed these for. This is not. It's an abomination, because it clearly says this is an abomination to you. Not that this offends me. It clearly says if you eat these, this is an abomination to you.
Right.
So I think I don't think. Not eating pork is going to send you to hell or is going to fire you personally, spiritually. It may or may not. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's clear enough in the scriptures. However, it is clear that they're saying these things are abomination to you. So I don't think we're meant to consume them as food, as in like on a health thing. They're not ideal. Put it that way.
Right.
I don't think it's going to cause you any riff with God unless straight up God has told you not to eat any of these things, you know, and then you do it.
Right.
Because that's disobedience.
Right.
Because me personally, even though the scriptures talk about the shellfish and stuff like that, and it's not one of those things where I'm so in love with shellfish that I eat them because I like them. It's just that I don't feel convicted on it.
Right.
And I do like to eat stuff. I don't feel convicted on it. I'm not going to give that up.
Right, right.
But pork, I ate pork my whole life. I like pork.
Right.
But I'm convicted on it, so I don't eat it.
Right.
But again, if you're saying that it's affecting you spiritually to eat pork, that these scriptures are saying will affect you spiritually, eat pork, then you got it. You can't just take pork out of the equation.
You got to take everything.
Yeah, you got to take everything. You got to take gator meat. You got to take everything that's following that scripture. Even if you're the type of person to eat insects, you got certain insects we're supposed to eat.
Right.
So it might be, I believe that at least that is not the best idea for us to eat any of that stuff.
Right.
Personally.
Right. Now, Steph don't eat pork. I eat pork. I'm not convicted in it at all. I'm completely free in it. However, I'm still using wisdom. I don't eat pork every day. I mean, I stopped eating pork for over 12 years, you know what I'm saying? But I went back to it. And health-wise, it is, when I read the benefits of pork, there are some health benefits in it, believe it or not, and there's some very, very high unhealthy benefits.
Oh, I want to do the unhealthy ones.
And
I actually got a whole list, but go ahead.
The
unhealthy versions.
Oh, well, honestly, after this, I mean, there are more unhealthy benefits than healthy when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. Honestly, pork is like, it's just like no other animal out there. Too much intake of it can cause really, really bad things for you. The only additional to pork is eating freshly cooked pork on an everyday basis can cause undesirable changes in your blood.
Mm.
And I don't think I need to go no further than that. Like, that's enough for me to, yeah, like, not want to do it every day. And everything I've read, and I know it's going to be hard for you bacon lovers, but that bacon is like a fast road to a heart attack.
Mm.
You know, and it says you're supposed to eat it in moderation, like everything. But like growing up, my mother would say, you only need 3 pieces of bacon, and you only need 3 pieces of bacon for a whole week.
Wow.
You know, so because my mother was a nurse growing up.
Yeah.
So she already knew the heart or the clottery, the clogs up in your heart and all the other stuff comes from that. So there's a lot of eating like freshly cooked pork causes free-floating red blood cells to become sticky within a few hours. And that's just, that's crazy. And that's if you've only eaten it just that day, you know. The stickiness causes them to bind together in formations resembling stacks of coins to a Rolex.
Wow.
Worse, the condition triggers temporary disruption in your circulation of the blood. This occurs throughout all, I'm going to try to say this word, microcaliparies, and within organ tissues as well.
Capillaries.
There you go. So I mean, like I said, man, it's I mean, and I did not realize that over 70% of the world consumes pork.
I didn't know that either.
Nah, I didn't, man. So it's more, there are places in certain countries where that's pretty much all they serve you.
Wow.
Like, they serve more pork than they do cow, chicken, anything, and it's tradition. Like, and it's an insult to not eat it.
Right? Yeah.
And it's an insult to not eat it. Mm. Like, so, a matter of fact, Hawaiians is one of them. Like, whatever they sit before you, I was told, don't even go if you know you're not even going remotely even try to eat what it is they have. It's extremely disrespectful to not eat what's before you. So it's like, if you know you can't handle it, don't go. Or if you sit in front of them, you better eat. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, Hawaiians, certain places, in Mexico, that's or Spanish, that's all they serve is pork.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? So it's one of them things where it's internationally known. My conclusion is that whatever God has given you to input in your body, as long as you pray over it and bless it, it's okay. However, you know your body. You know what your health restrictions are. You know if pork is going to do you better you or if it's not. To me, if you ask me, I don't think if anybody stops eating pork, they're going to get sick and die.
No.
If you stop eating pork, you know what I'm saying? It's probably opposite. And I
would, a lot of people put
and statistics way. Is those people who eat pork and instantly get a headache, like me. It don't happen all the time, but it does happen with certain things. Like if I eat packaged ham, instead of going into the actual fresh deli market and asking for sliced ham, if I eat packaged ham, automatic headache. Certain bacons, automatic headache. It is the chemicals and the enzymes, the chemicals they put in this pork to keep it fresh longer than it's supposed to. So this is what's causing like the massive headaches that people get the minute they take it in. What should also tell you that the shelf life for pork is a lot shorter than the shelf life for chicken or ground beef, because I've never gotten a headache eating chicken. I've never gotten a headache eating ground beef.
Neither.
You know what I'm saying? So it's letting you know that the shelf life for pork is shorter than the shelf life on any other meats. But they have to inject these things with certain kind of chemicals or whatever to make them last long for the grocery store. So that's my take. I just want to sum it up. Well, 1 Timothy 4:4 says, since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. Now, of course, Paul is saying that, but however, use wisdom, people. He said we should not reject any of it. My thing is, it is definitely okay to reject something that's going to be unhealthy to your body. So yeah. Don't take, you know, and like I said, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know a lot of people still out there, we taking the Bible for what it is, but like you say, like, me and Step just got friends pulling all our information out of, like, what they call a synoptic gospel, which is, like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, some John, we went to Acts, but man wrote all these books. And the only time Jesus or God speaks is when it says, then the Lord says. Mm-hmm. Or you see the red letters where Jesus yeah. spoke. So those are the things that you can't debunk no matter what else you want to try. At the end of the day, the Bible makes it clear that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking.
No.
But our righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 14:17. There is no saving grace in either eating or not eating certain foods. People know that. And Step started it off by saying that.
Yeah.
We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that as well. You can see Ephesians 2:8-10 if you don't believe nothing me or him saying. This, of course, does not mean that all animals we use for food are of equal value when it comes to our health.
Exactly.
Man, we just got to be talking about that,
yes,
too.
Yes.
So many people feel they can win God's favor and have eternal life by following the dietary laws of the Old Testament. But this is a misunderstanding. You cannot save yourself, but Christ can. And he always will, as you commit your life to him by mm-hmm. faith. That's all I got, man. All
right. I'm going to chime in a little bit. And I agree with everything Yusuf just said. I co-sign with it. Again, when it comes to the Holy Spirit telling you something, it's not all about what the Bible says and everything. I'm not saying that if it doesn't go against the Bible. I'm saying my point is, if the Holy Spirit, if the Bible's saying it's okay to eat, drink, or whatever, and you feel convicted on it by the Holy Spirit, not by religious folks, not by what you think, but if the Holy Spirit is telling you shouldn't do it, you should not do it. There's a reason why God, in his infinite wisdom, knows what you can handle, what you can't handle. It might be something that particular animal that's killing you.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, it's not about not eating pork podcast, but I do want to give people information because I know I had conversations about pork the other day, and plus I'm here in the South, so everybody wants to stand by eating pork as much as you can. So he's like, well, pork is just as nasty as chicken. I disagree, but I know chicken is nasty too. Mm-hmm. Chickens themselves are nasty.
Well, chicken themselves is the nastiest animal that we eat.
Yeah, that's what I heard, but I don't know. I say it's very comparable to pigs. I'm going to read you the information on why not to eat pork. Health-wise,
mm-hmm.
It says, a pig is a real garbage gut. It will eat anything including urine, excrement, dirt, decaying animal flesh, maggots, or decaying vegetables. They will even eat the cancerous growths off other pigs and animals. That's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
The meat and fat of a pig absorbs toxins like a sponge. Their meat can be 30 times more toxic than beef or deer meat. When eating beef or deer meat, it takes 8 to 9 hours to digest the meat, so a little toxin in the meat are slowly put into our system, but it can be filtered out by the liver. But when pork is eaten, it takes only 4 hours to digest the meat. We thus get a much higher level of toxins in a shorter time. I'm not going to read all of them, but mm-hmm. Unlike other mammals, the pig does not sweat or perspire. Perspiration is a means by which toxins are removed from the body. Since the pig does not sweat, the toxins remain in his body and in the meat. Let's see. Pigs and swine are so poisonous that you can hardly kill them with strychnine or other poisons.
Why would you want to kill them with poisons and strychnine in it?
Hey, I don't know.
Sounds like that came from somebody who just hate pork.
Could be. Farmers will often pin up pigs with rattlesnake nests because the pigs will eat the rattlesnakes, and if bitten, they will not be harmed by the venom. That sounds actually kind of cool.
Wow, that's kind of cool. Yeah. I'm on some pig skin now.
I know, right? But here's the nasty part again. When a pig is butchered, worms and insects take to its flesh sooner and faster than any other animal's flesh. In a few days, a swine is full of worms.
That helps prove my point about how the shelf life is shorter.
That's why, because of rot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Swine and pigs have over a dozen parasites within them, such as tapeworms, flukes worms, trichinae. There's no mm-hmm. safe temperature at which pork can be cooked to ensure that all these parasites, their cysts, and their eggs will be killed. Pig meat has twice as much fat as beef. A three-ounce T-bone steak contains 8.5 grams of fat. A 3-ounce pork chop contains 18 grams of fat. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference. Yeah. A 3-ounce beef rib has 11.1 grams of fat. A 3-ounce pork spare rib has 23 grams of fat.
Yeah, the ribs, and when I read mine, it was ribs and something else that we... Ribs and I think pork chops?
Those are the best parts, though.
Yeah, but those are the ones that have the highest...
Wow.
Like, they especially said them ribs. Them ribs is... that we eat ribs more, but the ribs will shoot your blood pressure up mm-hmm. quicker.
Wow. It's the last one I'm going to read. Mm-hmm. It says... the swine carries about 30 diseases, which can be easily passed to humans. That, and then they go, this is the part, this is where they go to the scripture. This is why God commanded that we're not to even touch their carcasses. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that we're not supposed to touch their carcasses. Wow. In 11:8. That's all I want to read about that. Mm-hmm. But as far as going back to Leviticus and talking about not eating pork and stuff like that or touching the carcasses, I think some of it's health and some of it may have been in religious practices back then. And I think, I say it's twofold because the scriptures that talk about if you are to touch the carcass, then you are unclean for 11 hours or so. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't sound like a dirty thing. It sounds more like a spiritual thing.
Right, it does.
So, or religious practice back then. Back then it was spiritual, but
right.
That's what I'm saying. So, like I said, to each his own with that, but scriptures, I still don't think you're supposed to eat it as far as health reasons. But, of course, if God is telling you, the Holy Spirit's convicting you on it, mm-hmm. nothing I can say or Pudge can say can convince you differently. Just do what you're supposed right. to do. You can't, if you're already convicted on something, the scriptures can't bail you out of it because God wrote the scriptures. So he's telling you, like, look, this ain't for you. Don't do it.
Right.
So, hands down.
Right. And the only thing that I...
that's my sum up.
The only thing I found is that, you know, benefit health-wise, pork is high in protein. Mm-hmm. There's certainly way more downfalls to pork than... and attributes. I did just find something that says vitamins and minerals. These are the main vitamins and minerals found in pork. Now, I'm going to do my best with these names. Thiamin. T-H-I-A-M-I-N. Unlike other types of red meat, such as beef and lamb, pork is particularly rich in thiamine. Thiamine is one of the B vitamins and plays an essential role in various body functions. Selenium, S-E-L-E-N-I-U-M. Pork is usually a rich source of selenium. The best sources of this essential mineral are animal-derived foods such as meat, seafood, eggs, and dairy products. So pretty much you can get that same selenium in other kind of meats, eggs, or products. And just people, if you didn't know, eggs is protein, people. I know it's not meat, but it's protein, just in case y'all didn't know that. Zinc, an important mineral abundant in pork. It is essential for a healthy brain and immune system. Wow, okay, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Vitamin B12 is strong in pork, only found in foods or animals. Origin. Vitamin B12 is important for blood formation and brain function. Vitamin B12 deficiencies may cause anemia and damage to neurons. Wow. So that kind of like would explain too much pork intake when it comes to your blood. So the B12 is good for your blood and its formation to your brain function, but too much intake will cause the blood cells to become sticky.
Yeah, you explained in the beginning.
So it's helping me understand how the right amount is where you get the health benefits, but too much consuming. Mm-hmm. I have another one, vitamin B6. A group of several related vitamins important for the formation of red blood cells. We was talking about that earlier. Mm-hmm. Niacin, one of the vitamin B vitamins, also called vitamin B3, it serves a variety of functions in the body and is important for growth and metabolism. Phosphorus. P-H-O-S.
Phosphorus.
Abundant and common in most foods. Phosphorus is usually a large component of people's diets. It is essentially for body growth and maintenance. Iron. Pork contains less iron than lamb or beef. However, the absorption of meat iron from the digestive tract is very effective, and pork can be considered an outstanding source of iron. Okay, so bottom line, pork is an excellent source of many vitamins and minerals, including all those things I just named. So, at the end of the day, people, my conclusion to this is, it's between your relationship with God. If you want to take it health-wise, you know, be, it seems like taking it in moderation is the only wise thing that I can actually say, because there are definitely more downfalls about pork than there are attributes about it. So there's not a lot to find beneficial health-wise when it comes to pork. So even if you take the Bible away, just think about your personal health and if it's good for you or not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my conclusion, you know, on all that. My conclusion is that whatever you put in your body, God has made it clean. As long as you pray over it, you know what I'm saying, and it will not defile you, but you still need to be praying to God that it don't make you sick, though. Because it could not defile you, but still make you sick as a dog. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There is a difference, people. You know what I'm saying? But that's my take on everything.
That's it, y'all. It's time to do the shout-outs. Man, that's something. If there's nothing else we can say on that topic.
Right.
And people think it's a simple topic to cover. It's not, man. It's not. It's a lot. All right, so real quick, shout-outs. You know who's number one again, right?
Tokyo,
I know I said we're going to get you on the next show, but this was such a long topic. I didn't want to prolong the show any further, but we got you. I want to make sure you know we love you and we got you. We're going to get you on. We're going to talk about your city on one of our upcoming shows when we have more time to really do it justice.
Right.
But thank you, Tolkien, for always being a faithful listener. Usually the first on the front lines when it comes to listening to Crosstalk Radio. Shout out to Stone Mountain. Shout out to Tokyo. Shout out to Japan loving us. Shout out to Stone Mountain. Shout out to San Antonio, Texas.
Shout out
to the Bronx, New York. Shout out to Conyers, Georgia.
Yeah.
Shout out to Great Georgia moms down in Great Georgia listening as usual. Thank you, Mom, for always supporting us and critiquing us when we do the show.
She critiques,
and, she lets us know. We get a text every time she listens to the show.
Right.
Most time it's good, sometimes it's not.
Right.
But if we
don't
put one out for it, we definitely get scolded.
We definitely gonna give you that.
We get scolded. So thank you, Mom, for your support.
Yes.
Spanaway, Washington. That's a very new one. I never heard
of
the city.
Never even knew it was a part of Washington.
But shout out to Spanaway, Washington. Shout out to Tacoma, Washington. Shout out to Louisville, Kentucky, and Alexandria, Virginia. Thank y'all so much for tuning
in.
Love day. We got two cities in Washington. That's awesome, man.
That's what's up.
We love you guys. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for your divine all my devout listeners out there. Continue to pray for us. Continue to hit us with topics. Continue to email us, crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. It's cross up with a K. Also, Push, we got to get this out there, man, because people tend to think if they miss it on Monday at 12 o'clock, they can't listen.
I'm legit texting somebody right now, telling them to go to the show and listen right now.
If you miss a show, no worries.
No worries.
Go to crosstalk.buzzsprout.com. You can listen to each and every one of our episodes. We say 12 o'clock noon on Mondays because that's when we release the new one. If you miss the new one, you can go in at 12 o'clock next Tuesday, whenever you want to, listen to any other show. But the only reason we say 12 o'clock on Mondays is because that is the day our new show airs.
Right.
However, if you miss it, no worries. We got 22 episodes, and you can go and listen to them any given time you want to listen to them while you're in the car, on the way to work, on your way to the gym, in the gym.
Right.
You know, whenever you got downtime, whenever you're cleaning the house, they're good to pop in and get some information. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Steph Swig.
This is Big Pudge.
Crosstalk
Radio.
Peace.